The second illusion, the illusion of failure, may be used to experience your inability to fail at anything. Nothing you do is a failure, but merely part of the process you have undergone to achieve what you are seeking to achieve, and to experience what you are seeking to experience. What you are seeking to experience is that which you are. You cannot experience that which you are in the absence of that which you are not. Therefore, know that when you experience that which you are not, it is not a failure to experience, but a way to experience that which you are. What was just said is very important. Yet it is easy to move right through statements like that and miss their enormous significance. So I am going to repeat the statement. When you experience that which you are not, it is not a failure to experience, but a way to experience that which you are. And so when what you call failure visits your life, embrace it lovingly. Do not condemn it and make it wrong, for what you resist persists, and what you look at disappears. That is, it ceases to have its illusory form. You see it for what it really is, just as you see yourself as who you really are. By using the illusion of failure to notice what you have learned, remembered, about life, and to motivate you to apply the wisdom that you have acquired, the illusion becomes a tool with which to notice that you are always succeeding. Put simply, we are saying here that the way to step outside of the illusion of failure is to simply see everything as a part of your success. All things lead to your success, produce your success, are part of the process by which you experience your success. Many people understand this intuitively. Scientists are among them. When they embark on an important experiment, they not only anticipate failure, they relish it. The pure scientist understands completely that a failed experiment has not failed at all, but merely pointed the way to success. Something working out the way you wanted it to is not the definition of success, and something not working out the way you wanted it to is not the definition of failure. Indeed, if you live a long life, there will be times when you will claim the exact opposite to be true. When you are said to have had many failures, all you have had are successive experiences. And how can any experience which you call successive be a failure? Yet the illusion of failure is necessary in order to experience the exhilaration of success. If you succeed at everything, then you will experience succeeding at nothing. You will simply feel that you are doing what you are doing, but you will not know it as success, nor experience the wonder and the glory of who you are, because there would be no contextual field within which to notice that. If you throw a touchdown pass on the first attempt, that may be exhilarating for sure. Yet if you throw a touchdown pass on every attempt, you would soon lose the excitement of it. It would mean nothing. There would be nothing but touchdown passes, and throwing them would be pointless, worthless, meaningless. All of life moves in cycles. It is the cycles of life that give meaning to life. In fact, there is no such thing as failure. There is only success manifesting in its many aspects. There is also no such thing as that which is not God. There's only God, manifesting in its many aspects. You see the parallel? You see the model? This simple seeing changes everything. When this is clear to you, you will be immediately struck with gratitude and wonder. Gratitude for all of the failures of your life, and wonder that it took so long to recognize the treasures that you have been given. You will understand at last the meaning of my statements that I have brought you nothing but angels. and I have given you nothing but miracles. In the moment of this understanding, you will know that you never fail to succeed. Always remember that. You never fail to succeed.
The third illusion, the illusion of disunity, may be used to experience your unity with everything. If you are united with something for a long time, you'll at some point cease to notice that there is a you at all. The idea of you as a separate entity will gradually disappear. People who've been together for a very long time often experience this. They begin to lose their individual identity. This is wonderful to a point. O-N-E, wonderful. Yet the wonder of it disappears when the unity is experienced without end, because unity in the absence of disunity is nothing. It is not experienced as ecstasy, but as a void. In the absence of any separation, ever, oneness is noneness. That is why I have inspired it to be written, "Let there be spaces in your togetherness." Drink from a full cup, but not from the same cup. The pillars that support a structure stand apart, and the strings of the lute are separate, though they quiver with the same music. All of life is a process of experiencing unity and separation, unity and separation. This is the very rhythm of life. Indeed, this is the rhythm that creates life itself. I say to you again, life is a cycle, as is everything in it. The cycle is to and fro, together, apart. Even when a thing is apart, it is always together, for it cannot truly separate, but only get larger. Therefore, even when a thing seems to be apart, it is still a part, which means it is not a part at all. Your entire universe was once unified beyond comprehension, compacted into a dot infinitesimally small. Then it exploded, yet it did not truly separate, but merely became larger. God cannot dismember itself. We can appear to have come apart, but we have simply become a part. Our intrinsic unity is experienced once again when we remember. When you see others who appear separate from you, look at them deeply. Look into them. Do this for a long moment, and you will capture their essence. And then you'll meet you waiting there. When you see other things in your world, a part of nature, another aspect of life, that appear separate from you, just look at them deeply. Look into them. Do this for a long moment, and you will capture their essence. And then you'll meet you, waiting there. In that moment, you will know unity with all things. And as your sense of oneness increases, suffering and sorrow will vanish from your life. For suffering is a response to separation, and sorrow is an announcement of its truth. Yet it is a false truth. It is something that only appears to be true. It is not ultimately true. True separation from anyone or anything is simply not possible. It is an illusion. It is a wonderful illusion because it allows you to experience the ecstasy of union, but it is an illusion nonetheless. Use the illusion of disunity as if it were a tool in the hands of craftsmen. Craft your experience of total unification with this tool, and use the tool again to recreate the experience over and over again. When you see nothing but you wherever you look, you peer through the eyes of God. And as your sense of oneness increases, pain and disappointment will vanish from your life. Always remember that. As your sense of oneness increases, pain and disappointment will vanish from your life.
The fourth illusion, the illusion of insufficiency, may be used to experience your abundance. God is abundant, and so are you. In the Garden of Eden, you had everything, but you did not know it. You experienced eternal life, but it did not matter. It did not impress you because you experienced nothing else. The Garden of Eden is a myth, but the story was intended to convey a great truth. When you have everything and do not know that you have everything, you have nothing. The only way for you to know what it means to have everything is for you to at some point have less than everything. Hence, the illusion of insufficiency. Your insufficiency was intended as a blessing, through which you could know and experience your true and total abundance. Yet it is necessary to step outside of the illusion, to see the illusion as an illusion and move away from it, in order to have this experience. Here's how you can step outside of the illusion of insufficiency. Fill the insufficiency that you see wherever you see it outside of yourself, for this is where the illusion lies, outside of yourself. If then you see insufficiency outside of yourself, fill the insufficiency. If you see people who are hungry, feed them. If you see people who need clothing, clothe them. If you see people who need shelter, give them shelter. You will then experience that you have no insufficiencies at all. However little of anything you have, you can always find someone who has less. Find that someone and give to them from the abundance that is yours. Seek not to be the recipient of anything, but to be the source. That which you wish to have, cause another to have. That which you would seek to experience, cause another to experience. In so doing, you will remember that you have had these things in your possession all along. This is why it has been said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." So don't go around asking, "What are we to eat? What are we to drink?" Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet they are fed. Which of you, by being anxious, can add one thing to your life? And do not ask, "How shall we clothe ourselves?" Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor do they spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all else will be added unto you. And how may you seek the kingdom of heaven? By providing the kingdom of heaven to others, by being the kingdom of heaven, in which others may find refuge and strength, by bringing the kingdom of heaven and all its blessings to all those whose lives you touch. For what you give, you become. Always remember that. What you give, you become.